For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Friday, May 19th. Do you know what day it is? It's Today in Sports Betting. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and as always, you can find me at Doug_Reed34 on Twitter. Always welcome your DMs, thoughts, comments, feedback, questions you have for me, segments you'd like to see. If you could also go to your podcast provider and rate and review the show, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, positive review would go to help me a lot. Lots of games on the slate on a Friday, one NBA and 15 full slate Major League Baseball and one Western Conference NHL playoff game. But before we get started, I just thought I'd give a little tidbit of information. On this day in sports history, in 1974, the Philadelphia Flyers beat the Boston Bruins to win the Stanley Cup. A year prior, on this day in 1973, Secretariat won the Preakness Stakes. Secretariat would go on to win the Triple Crown that year. And on this day in 2011, Colorado Rockies first baseman Jason Giambi hit 3 home runs in a 7-1 victory over Philly at Citizens Bank Ballpark. That feat made him the second oldest player to hit 3 home runs in a game at 40. Stan Musial had achieved the feat in 1962 when he at the age of 41, when he hit 3 home runs in a game. So a little bit of useless sports information. But if you're listening to this show, if you're a sports better, who doesn't like useless information? So just thought I would throw that out there. Let's get to the games we have in the NBA. One game on tap, the Eastern Conference Finals, is still in Boston. Miami is up 1-0 after their win in the first game. Total here, the number here is Boston minus 9, 215.5 is the total. When I look at the money coming in, it's actually surprising to me that money is still coming in on Boston, even at that number. Money was coming in Boston. Right now I see about 75% of the bets on the Heat and 68% of the handle. So the Heat lean is definitely towards the Heat. Open at minus 9 has pretty much stayed there. And I'd be on the Heat as well. I think Boston wins. I think they rebound and tie this. But they win by 9 after that that first game where they didn't look all that good. And maybe even the Heat looked better, actually. But not better, but better than what people expected. So I think the Celtics win by 6-7. A little tough to lay 9 points in this. 214.5 the game opened at. It's now at 215.5. Most of the money is on the under here as well. I see 83% of the bets and 87% of the money. So huge, huge lean by the public, huge lean by the respected bettors to the under on this as well. And I would probably lean, I'm not really sure where I would go. The first game went to the over. I would stay away in the total, but I would lean towards the Heat at plus 9. And this coming off tonight's game, in which Denver took a 2-0 series lead. Denver won 108-103. And they came in open, I think, minus 5.5, got up to about 6, dropped down to minus 5.5. Either way, if you got those numbers, you were out. Because Lakers covered that, losing by 5. Total was 225.5, which was well over the final number at 211. So if you're on the under, you definitely won that. I was leaning towards the Lakers, so would have covered that. Didn't play the game. And I was leaning towards the over, so would have lost that. So kind of would have split there. Not really ahead or behind. So we will move to the Diamond, where there's a full slate of games for tomorrow. We start at 6:35 at East. Arizona is in Pittsburgh to play the struggling Pirates. You can get the Diamondbacks at minus 170 the money line, the home Pirates at plus 145. Total here is 7.5. Juice to the under at minus 115. So obviously money's coming in on the under. Zach Gallen, Arizona's ace. I actually think Zach Gallen has a good chance at the NL Cy Young. He's just been fantastic this year. 57 and a third innings, 2.35 ERA, 0.85 whip, just 8 walks, 70 strikeouts. And I think he had one bad game to start. Last game, he didn't pitch great. He pitched well, but not great. And other than that, he's just been dominant. He's going against the Pirates. The Pirates are really struggling after their great start in April. They have their young prospect, the young righty, Johan Oviedo, who comes in 2-3 in the year. 42 innings pitched, 5.14 ERA, 1.64 whip, 20 walks, 36 strikeouts. This guy is a decent prospect, but he's really been struggling. And I like the D-backs a lot here. Minus 170, too much for me. Maybe you want to play a half unit on that. I think it's a decent play, but too much for me. So instead, I pivoted to the run line. And you can get there right now at plus 100. I get it at plus 110. Earlier in the day in score bet. So shop around if you can get, you know what, I would take the D-backs run line, anything up to minus 110. So if you can get a minus 110 or better, I would jump on that. I just think Gallen has the ability to shut down anybody. He's going to shut down the Pirates because they're struggling. Oviedo is also struggling. And the D-backs haven't been hitting great lately, but I think they'll be able to get to him and get to him for a couple runs. When I look at where the numbers coming in too, on this number, on the run line, I see 62% of the bets and 88% of the money. So clearly the big money is leaning towards the run line here as well. Next game, 640 in the East. New York Yankees earn Cincinnati to start a series with the Reds. You can get the road Yanks at minus 165 or the home Reds at plus 140 on the money line. Total here is 10.5. Juice to the under at minus 115. So obviously some money's coming in on the under. For the Yankees, Clark Schmidt, the righty, starts 40 innings, 6.30 ERA, 1.65 whip. Certainly not living up to the expectations the Yanks had for him, but they need starters, so he's going to keep up getting out there. 14 walks, 48 strikeouts. Ben Lively, the righty, has just been called up recently for the Reds. Just pitched 5 1/3 innings, 1.69 ERA, 0.94 whip, no walks and 2 strikeouts. Too hard to get a read on that, those numbers. He is basically filling in, and I like the Yankees here. I like him a lot. I'm looking at the run line at even money plus 100 because I don't want to lay 165. In Cincinnati, Great American Ballpark, very much a hitter's park. It's not as bad as Colorado, but anything can happen there. So I don't like Schmidt a whole lot as a Yankee starter, and Ben Lively, I think, can give up some runs, but you never know. In Cincinnati, stranger things have happened. So I would lean towards the Yankees, and I would lean towards their run line. Right now I'm seeing about 76% of the bets and 96% of the money. So almost all the money's coming, all the money coming in the run line is coming towards the Yankees. But not a huge signal for me in that. So games to stay away for me. Next game, 7:05 in the East, we have the Chicago Cubs in Philly to face the Phillies, obviously. The home Phillies minus 125 on the money line. The Cubs plus 105. And this is – sorry, lost the game there. You can get Marcus Stroman, the righty, on the bump for Chicago. 50 innings, 3.24 ERA, 1.18 whip, 19 walks, 47 strikeouts. Rangel Suarez on the hill for the Phillies. Just 4 innings, 6.75 ERA, 2 whip, 2.00 whip, irrelevant. He had a good year 2 years ago, a decent year last year. I like the Phillies here. I'm not a huge backer of Stroman. I know he's pitched all right, but I'm not a huge backer of him.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So So I would lean to the home Phillies, pardon me, at minus 125. You can get the road Cubs at plus 105. Phillies 8.5. Juice to the over at minus 120. So obviously money coming in on the over. Philly's been the Philly bats been doing well lately, especially since Bryce Harper returned. Nick Castellanos having a great year. And I think they can get to Stroman for three, four, maybe five runs. The question is, can the Cubbies get to Suarez? They are not quite league average, a little worse than league average, but decent against left-handed pitching. So they should be able to get to him for a couple runs. The game's kind of a stay away for me. But I think, if anything, I would lean towards the Phillies. I was looking at the Phillies in the run line. It's now up to plus 160. It was about plus 145 when I was looking at it earlier in the day. So maybe some value there, because I think the way the Phillies are hitting, they can get the Stroman, they could put up a lot of runs here. But if anything, I would lean towards the money line, the Phillies at minus 125. Can take a quick break. We get back, finish out this big MLB card, and quickly hit the ice. Next game on the diamond, 7-5 in the East, the Detroit Tigers travel to Washington. You can get the road Tigers as the favorite at minus 115, which surprises me. The home Nats at minus 105. Total here is 9, juice to the under at minus 115. So money is clearly coming in on the under. And why it surprises me is Detroit throws Matthew Boyd. The lefty, 32 innings, 6.47 ERA, 1.56 whip, has not had a good year. 15 walks, 29 strikeouts. And Jake Irvin toes the rubber for Washington, 15 to third innings, 4.11 ERA, 1.3 whip, 8 walks, 14 strikeouts. Can't really get a good feel for this guy, but if a career minor leaguer coming up, had a good couple starts. But why I like Washington here, and I'm actually on the Washington money line. Down to minus 105. I got it earlier today at DK at plus 100. I would take them anything above minus 110 or above, to be honest with you. And the reason is Washington hits lefties really well. They're in the top 10 in batting average, on base, and slugging percentage against lefties. And I'm also seeing, as I pull up the current numbers, I'm also seeing most of the money on the Nats. Look at Nats run line. I'll start. That's the plus 105. I'm seeing about 48% of the bets on Washington's money line, but 65% of the money coming in. That's actually down a little. Earlier today it was skewed much more, but I think that's because the numbers come down. I got it at plus 100. Like I said, right now it's about minus 105. If anything, shop around, try and get an even plus 100, but I would play it to minus 110. Detroit has woken up. People think they've woken up a little, but they haven't really been facing great competition. Boyd has struggled against lefties. Everybody immediately thinks Washington is terrible, and they've struggled for sure this year. But they've done well against lefties, so I think they can get the Boyd for a couple runs. When I say a couple, I don't mean two. I mean a handful of runs. And Jake Irvin, I don't think he's going to shut Washington down by any stretch of the imagination, but he has the ability to keep them in the game. And I think the Nats can get to the Tigers. So I am on the Nats on the money line, as I said, plus 100, play to anything down to minus 110. 7-0-7 in the East. We have an AL East division battle between the upstart Baltimore Orioles and Toronto Blue Jays. Games in Toronto, Jays are on the Jays are minus 145 favorite. You can get the road Orioles plus 125. Total here is 9, juice to the over at minus 120. So obviously money's coming in. Games in Toronto. Two good hitting teams. You would expect that. Four, Baltimore. We have Kyle Gibson on the hill. The righty, 4.67 ERA, 1.40 whip, 16 walks, 36 strikeouts. For the Jays, you have lefty, Yusei Kikuchi on the hill, 41 and two-thirds innings, 3.89 ERA, 1.30 whip, just 8 walks and 40 strikeouts. He's actually been doing quite well, better than most expected, 5-0 to start the year as well. I'm kind of seeing the numbers split, money and the bets coming in. If anything, I would lean towards the Jays here, but at minus 145, don't think I can lay that. On the run line, they're plus 135. Maybe some value there because I think they can get to Gibson. But Vladdy Guerrero, he pinch hit today. He's been out with I think it's a hamstring injury, a left knee injury. But it's a good sign he pinch hit today, so hopefully he's back in the lineup tomorrow. But I would also lean to the over. It is juiced to minus 120, so maybe shop around for that because it's probably going the other way on you. Up to 9.5 by the morning. but I would shop around for that. If you can get it at 9, I would lean to the over at a reasonable price, and I would lean to the Jays, but probably not at -145. 7-10 in the East, we have the Guardians in New York to play the Mets. The home Mets are -150 in the money line. The road Guardians are +130. Total here is 9 juice to the under at -115. So money is definitely coming in the under. That may move to -8.5. And if it does, I think I would hit the over. For Cleveland, Cal Quantrill's on the hill, 45-30. He's 3.97 ERA, 1.35 whip, 15 walks, 23 strikeouts. He's had a good couple of outings. But I'm not buying the Cal Quantrill story. However, he is going against the Mets bats, which have been struggling lately. And Carlos Carrasco is on the hill, 13 2/3 innings, 8.56 ERA, 1.61 WHIP, 8 walks and 8 strikeouts. Coming back from injury, he was really struggling. The thing is here, I guess when I think this more through, money's coming in the under because Cleveland's not hitting anyone. Mets aren't hitting anyone. I'm not a fan of Quantrill. He's pitched well lately. And Carrasco is a question mark coming back. So I guess they figure 2 average pitchers, 2 below average offenses currently. You get to the under 9. So stay away from me. Mets are -150 in the money line. Cleveland +130. Probably some value on Cleveland at +130. Again, Carrasco, he's coming back from injury, has struggled this year. Cleveland's not going to put up a lot of runs, but if Quantrill continues his hot streak and the Mets bats continue to be cold, all of a sudden +130 in the money line isn't such a bad deal. I'm not on the game, but if I had to take an angle, I would look there. When I look at the splits, they're fairly even on the money line. More money's coming in on the Mets, 66% of the money, but only 51% of the bets. That means larger bets. Larger money's coming in on the Guardians, but not by a huge amount. 7-20 in the East, we have Seattle in Atlanta to play the Braves. The home Braves are -140 in the money line. The road M's are +120. Total here is 8.5, juiced evenly both ways. For the Mariners, they have their young righty, Bryce Miller, who is 3 starts into his career, 19 innings, 0.47 ERA, 0.42 whip, or 1 walk, 18 strikeouts. The kid has looked good, for sure. However, he's going against Atlanta, which is never an easy team to beat. Bryce Elder, 46 1/3 innings, 1.94 ERA, 1.12 whip, 14 walks, and 39 strikeouts. He's had a really, really good start to the season. I think most pundits don't know that he's going to keep that going. But he's done well, and Seattle's bats are not doing all that well. So I can see why the Braves are -140 favorites, and I can see why the M's, even behind Bryce Miller, are +120. A young rookie going against the Braves, not a good recipe for success. Total here is 8.5. I'm off that. The more I look at this, I like the Braves. Can lay -140. When I look at the money, 80% of the bets on the money line, 80% of the bets and 85% of the money are coming in. When I look at the run line for the Braves at +145, that's a pretty decent price. 71% of the bets, 87% of the money. So the bigger money is coming in. Most of the money is coming in on the run line and even some of the bigger money. Not there yet. I'm going to watch where this number goes. On Friday, when I'm looking at this close to game time, if it's 150 or plus, I probably jump on the Braves run line. I mean, the Braves can hit anybody, and if they're going to hit them, they're going to hit them fairly well. So, and Elder's been doing well, and Seattle's batting order hasn't. So I could see him holding them in check, and the Braves getting to Bryce Miller. Stay away from me, though. Although, you know what? Might be a strikeout prop in here. Atlanta strikes out a ton. I'm trying to see what the prop is. Sort of just pulling it up on the fly here. Bryce Elder, over 5.5 strikeouts, +110. The only question is, how long is he going to go? And I don't know that they've been allowing him to go that long. When I pull up Elder's numbers here, I know this is great podcasting. You got to listen to me type away as I pull up his numbers. I'm trying to figure out how many pitches he's gone in each of his games so far. So he has, what are we looking at here? No, sorry, not Elder. Bryce Miller. Wrong. Wrong Bryce. How many times do you have a battle of Bryces like that? Not very often. Bryce Miller trying to pull up his game logs to see. I don't think he's probably going to be allowed to go long enough. Yeah, there we go. Sorry about that. So three starts. He's gone six innings and 81 pitches against Oakland, six innings, 85 pitches against Houston, and seven innings, 82 pitches against Detroit. In those games, he had 10 strikeouts against Oakland, five against Houston, and three against Detroit. So I don't really think, sorry, I said earlier 5.5. It's Bryce Miller's 4.5, minus 120. Under 4.5 is minus 110. That's a tough one because I can't really see him going, even if he's pitching well, going beyond 85 pitches, which is probably going to get him through maybe six if he's pitching well. And yes, the Braves strike out a lot. But he take, you know, his first outing was 10 strikeouts. Since then, he's had five and he's had three. So going to stay away from there. If anything, I actually lean to the under. I think maybe the Braves can get to this guy and lean to the under 4.5. So back to the board. Interesting game. Not sure I'm on it yet. I might be on the Braves if they can get the plus 150 in the run line. 8-5 in the East in Texas. And this is a game that I can't really figure out. Colorado's in Texas to play the Rangers. The Rangers are minus 210 on the money line, plus 180. You can Colorado for. Total here is 9. Juice to the over, minus 115. So obviously they expect runs to be scored. And what I can't figure out is the run line here, which is what I'm on, actually. I grabbed Texas' run line. So they have to win by minus 1.5. They have to win by 2 at minus 110. Martin Perez goes for Texas, 42 and a third innings, 4.25 ERA, 1.61 whip, and just 14 walks and 31 strikeouts. And against lefties, Colorado has really struggled. So they're with a triple slash line. They're batting average 239, which is 21st of 30 teams in the majors. On base percentage 299, which is 23rd, and their slugging is 378, which is 26th. So bottom 10 in all categories against lefties. Okay, so what's the confusion? The confusion here is starting for Colorado in his major league debut is Carl Kauffman. Carl with a K. Kauffman. Now, Carl hasn't really done much. In 8 starts in the minors this year, 37 innings, 7.78 ERA, 1.78 whip, 26-12 strikeout to walk ratio. So he's not missing a lot of bats, not striking out a ton of guys, been giving up a lot of runs, a high whip, and he did the same last year, not quite that bad in the combination of AAA and AA, but I'm sure you've heard the term the line kind of stinks, and this kind of stinks. I mean, Texas is a huge favorite, minus 210. But, you know, their batting order, they've been doing great offensively. Colorado on the road doesn't do well. Colorado against lefties doesn't do well. I guess maybe they're thinking because he's a young kid and coming out of nowhere, maybe he can stymie Texas. I mean, the money line is minus 210, so obviously not. I just thought the run line at minus 110 was a little short. I thought it'd be more like minus 130 or minus 140. When I see the numbers here on the money line, it opened at minus 205. It's moved to minus 210. 85% of the money, 93%. 85% of the bets, 93% of the money. When I look at the run line, 84% of the bets, 96% of the money. So all the bets, most of the bets and all the money are coming in. And I'm behind that steam. I'm on the run line of the Rangers at minus 110 tomorrow. 8-10 in the East is the next game where we have an AL Central battle, Kansas City Royals against the Chicago White Sox. You can get the home White Sox at minus 130. You can get the road Royals plus 110. Total here is 9.5. Choose to the under at minus 120. This money obviously coming in on the under. I am on this game because Zach Greinke is pitching and he's pitching on the road. Greinke is 46 and two-thirds innings this year, 5.01 ERA, 1.24 WHIP, 7 walks, and 32 strikeouts. Michael Kopech Kopech is the righty on the hill for Chicago. 42 and a third innings, 5.74 ERA, 1.56 whip, 28 walks, which is brutal, 41 strikeouts. So his numbers are actually worse than Greinke. But the key to me is Greinke on the road. He has a 7.71 ERA and a 1.45 whip in four starts on the road. In addition to last year, his numbers weren't that bad last year, but they were pretty bad on the road. Also, Kansas City is struggling against right-handed pitching. And they've always, you know, they're not having a good year, but they struggled against righties this year. Their triple slash line is a .229 batting average, fifth worst in the majors against righties. .288 on-base percentage, the worst in the major leagues against righties. And a .375 slugging percentage, which is seventh worst against righties. So they are struggling against righties. Greinke's on the road. And I was looking towards the White Sox at minus 130, but I pivoted towards the run line at plus 145. I just think there's too much value there. If Greinke's going to get hit, he's going to get hit hard. And when I see the numbers, 47% of the bets are on the run line for Chicago, but 80% of the money. So there's a huge tilt towards the respected money or the pro money's coming in on the run line for the White Sox. So I'm going to back them because they are smarter than I am. But if they're backing, and I think purely this is two angles here. Greinke is brutal on the road, and the Royals hitting are struggling against righties. Now, Kopech hasn't done that well, but the guy does have the ability to put up some decent numbers. He's had a couple good starts, so against Kansas City's lineup, he can hopefully do that again. 8:15 in the East, we are in St. Louis, where the Dodgers are in town. The Dodgers come in minus 135 on the money line. The home Cardinals plus 115. Total here is 8.5. Juice to the over at minus 115. So money obviously coming in on the over. And I think that's because Steven Matz is on the hill. And we get Tony Gonsolin, the righty, 19 innings, 1.42 ERA, 0.95 whip, 6 walks, 16 strikeouts. Probably not going to go more than 4 or 5 innings, which is kind of Tony Gonsolin to a T. Steven Matz flips out of that, 41 and 2/3 innings, 5.62 ERA, 1.61 whip. Yikes and yikes. 16 walks, 37 strikeouts. And at first blush, you would think, well, the Dodgers, Gonsolin's a good pitcher. Matz is struggling. This should be an easy lean towards the Dodgers, minus 135 in the money line. You can get the home Mets or the home cards plus 115. But Cardinals have been hitting really well lately, and the Dodgers are brutal. I'm just trying to pull this up here. The Dodgers are brutal against left-handed hitting. One of the worst teams. There we go. One of the worst teams in baseball, oddly enough. They're triple slash line, so they have a batting average of 199 against lefties, the worst in the majors by a good chunk. The next worst is the Milwaukee Brewers, and they're at 216, 17 points behind the Brewers. On base percentage, a little bit better, but still not good. They are the, where are we here? 222, sorry, doing this the wrong way. The Dodgers, the ninth worst team in on-base percentage, just 302. And slugging, they do have a bit of pop, obviously. And their slugging is a little bit better against lefties than... Oh, they've actually jumped up to 18th. So about league average against lefties at 422 with a slugging percentage. So terrible batting average, brutal on-base percentage, but decent slugging. And I think they picked that up in the last couple games. I think they got to Wade Miley on Milwaukee for a few runs recently. So I like the Dodgers to win. I don't like them at 130 minus 135 in the road on the road. The run line is plus 120. Not really sure I want to go there either. I looked at the first five. I was looking for a first five number. Didn't really like that. I think Gonsolin can shut down St. Louis, but the bat's been doing really well lately for St. Louis. They've really woken up. So I'm going to stay away here. The one lean in the betting numbers, I'm not on it yet, but is the run line for the Dodgers, 53% of the money, 81% of the bets. So just over half the money, but 80%, just over 80% of the, sorry, just over half the total bets, but about 80% of the money are coming in on the Dodgers red run line, which is a huge indicator to jump on that run line at plus 120. Not there yet, but we'll see. Third last game of the night is 9:38 in the East. We have the Minnesota Twins traveling to LA to play the LA Angels. You can get the road Twins at minus 120 on the money line. The home Angels at plus 105. Total here is 8.5. Juiced at minus 110 on both sides. Joe Ryan goes for Minnesota. He's having a great year. 50 innings, 2.16 ERA, 0.84 whip, just 7 walks, 57 strikeouts. Reed Detmers is on the bump for the Angels. 35 innings, 4.89 ERA, 1.51 whip, 14 walks, and 41 strikeouts. He's giving up too many hits. His stuff, by all accounts, is he's doing well. His velocity is right on target with what it was last year. His location's right on target. He's just been giving up a little too many hits, and a lot of people think he is bound for some positive regression, as do I. Problem is, and against Minnesota, that would be an ideal situation because Minnesota, like the Dodgers, I think even worse than the Dodgers now, are brutal against lefties. When we go to their triple slash line against lefties, Minnesota's the third worst batting average at .221 against lefties. They have the third worst on-base percentage at .290 against lefties. And when it comes to slugging, they have the fourth worst slugging at .375 against lefties. Detmers is a lefty. So probably not a lot of runs against him. However, the flip side is Joe Ryan's been doing fantastic for Minnesota. And he has ability to certainly limit the halos here on a Friday night. So I'm actually on the under. I shopped around a little. Line didn't move too much. I'm on the under 8.5. Got it at minus 108. It's at minus 110 on DraftKings. I got a minus 108 in FanDuel. And as I said, on every show I do, or certainly when I talk about this, shop around, even getting that 0.02 extra reduction in the VIG is going to add up over time. So I pivoted to FanDuel, got the under 8.5 and minus 108. And I think Detmers can shut down the Twins. Twins lineup has not been doing well. Never mind against lefties, just in general, they're not doing well against lefties. They've been brutal. I think Detmers is in line for some positive regression. Joe Ryan's been doing a great job. So if he can hold the Angels to 3 or 4 runs, all of a sudden I think we're looking at this total going under the 8.5. Second last game of the night, Boston is on the West Coast to face the Padres, 9:40 in the East. You get the home Padres at minus 140, the road Sox at plus 120. Total here is 8.5, juice to the over at minus 115, so obviously money coming into the over. And probably because James Paxton is on the hill for Boston, and he made a good one start. It's like his first start in 1.5 years. He's barely pitched in the last 2.5 years. 5 innings, 3.6 ERA. Flat 1.00 whip, 1 walk and 9 strikeouts. Can't read a whole lot into that. A veteran looked good, but he's going against San Diego, which could be a challenge. Blake Snell, the lefty, is on the bump for San Diego. 41 innings, 4.61 ERA, 1.54 whip, 25 walks and 43 strikeouts. More than a strikeout in inning, but 25 walks in 41 innings isn't really going to cut it there, Mr. Snell. So, just looking at a couple stats there. The angle here is there's no real angle. If anything, I would look towards the over. San Diego, if they can wake up. I mean, San Diego's not a hitter's park for sure. And money's obviously coming in on the over. Oh, let me pull up betting splits. Money's coming in on the over. That's why it's used to minus 115. And when I see, nothing really substantial to move the market either way. So if anything, I would lean towards the over. I'm not really on it. Boston's been hitting well. They're not at home anymore. But, you know, Snell does his usual thing and walks 3 or 4 guys, puts some runners on base. Boston can certainly move them around and get some runs. So if anything, I would lean towards the over 8.5, but not going to touch it. Last game of the night. The Miami Marlins are in San Francisco to face the Giants. The home Giants minus 120 in the money line. And the road Marlins are plus 100. Total here is 7.5. Juice the under at minus 115. So the fact that number is probably moving down as even more money comes in. And that is because Sandy Alcantara is on the hill for Miami. 51 and a third innings. 4.91 ERA, which is a surprise. 1.2 whip. 1.21 whip, which is a surprise. 14 walks and 49 strikeouts. So kind of doing his thing, probably a few too many walks and giving up too many hits. Anthony DeSclafani is on the hill at the ready for San Francisco. 50 innings, 3.08 ERA, 0.96 whip, just 5 walks and 35 strikeouts. He's playing the role of Sandy so far this year. When I look at these numbers, I see a run line right now of San Francisco plus 170. You're getting 45% of the bets on that, 73% of the money. So a huge skew towards the big money coming in there. But I can't touch this. Alcantara has not been doing well. Obviously, 4.91 ERA, 1.21. He won the NL Cy Young last year. Not with those numbers. I think he will get things back in order. And against San Francisco, that could be a good recipe to do it, a good team to do it against, especially in San Francisco, which is a pitcher's park, low total here, 7.5, juice to the under, money's even coming in on that. But he hasn't been doing that well. And DeSclafani has pitched well, don't have a ton of faith. I mean, I think he's above a league average pitcher, for sure. But the Giants offense behind him can be hot and cold. I mean, Miami's offense is terrible. The Giants offense isn't a whole lot better. So I'm not really sure I want to back either one of them. Don't really want to go under 7.5 here either. So stay away from me. You know, the Giants, you can get plus 170 in the run line. That's a pretty price for sure. Because if they win, could they win by a couple? Could they get to Alcantara? Probably, but not really sure. So total stay away for me. So I'm on 5 games in the majors. Arizona, the run line, plus 110. Washington money line, even plus 100. Texas run line at minus 110. I'm on the White Sox at minus 140 in their run line against KC versus against Zach Greinke. And the Minnesota and the LA Angels, I'm on the under 8.5. And I got that at minus 108 on FanDuel. So that wraps up games on the diamond. Head to the ice, where right now we have – oh, sorry, in that game, I think Florida pulled out that win to beat Carolina to take a 1-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Series. The Western Conference Series starts 8:40 East. Dallas Stars are in Vegas to play the Knights. You can get the home Knights at minus 125. You get the visiting Stars at plus 105. Total here is 5.5 goals at minus 110. I lean towards the Stars. I think the Stars is a better team. Sure, the Kraken gave them a run last round. But I think they're the better team, getting plus money, plus 105. I would lean towards the Stars. Lean towards Stars, not necessarily taking them. But if I had to take a side, I would go with the Stars here. So, one game in the NBA tomorrow. Again, I'm not really on a side. Boston laying 9. I'm leaning towards Miami. One game on the ice, I'm leaning towards Dallas. 15 games on the diamond. You've got 5 plays. May add a couple more. Hope you got some insight. Hope you got some angles. Hope you got some plays. And hope for you, for me, and for everybody, it's a good day in sports betting on Friday.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.